Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to 6 December. My. We were just in November last week because it was the 29th of November. So it was the last Sunday in November, and now we're in the first Sunday in December. Well, this is Cecilia, and I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray and share whatever the Lord has given her. And then I'm going to come back on just to talk a little. Okay, Minister Sheila.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Apostle-elect, and to all that is listening, I just want to thank God for each and every one of us that is here today through his grace and love and mercy, that we have another day, another Sunday, and yet here in the last month of this year. God, I give honor to you. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And yet I cannot thank you enough. I thank you for us all on this earth, this planet that you made for us to live. Lord, I give grace for you. I give love to you. I give joy and life and love. More is still not enough for you. Lord, I give for waking us up this morning, for blessing us for another day. I thank you for Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margot McCoy, Missionary Linda Handy, Dr. Serena Wright. Lord, I thank you for each and every living thing on this earth, human, insect, or animal. Lord, I just give you for all that is here in this world that you have made for us, that yes, some of us misuse each other, use the earth, use the life. You misuse all the beautiful things that you have brought for us to live and to be in happiness and joy. Lord, I ask you to bless us all. Thank you for my sisters, my daughters, my sons, my granddaughters, my nieces, my nephews, my brothers, just the world, the ones, the family bloodline and the family that's not bloodline. Thank you for each and every person on this earth, each brother and sisters that we all have, because without you, we would not be. I ask you to bless this government that they might step in line, the right line, and come out the crookedness that they're in, to bless and to know that they are here to serve all people, everybody in the United States, not just a handful full of people, not just some people you pick, but you're here to serve all that voted you into office, to serve us all in the right way, not the wrong way, and to bless the government that's coming into office, that they might realize and understand the reason they was put there, and to know that they are for here and for all the people, and to bless us and to serve us all the right way. Actually, to bless this virus that's having so many words of why it is, the vaccinations that they give and what it might be used for, if it's to corrupt the nation or to help the nation. Lord, we need your blessings. We need you to inject us with the right antibiotics, the right knowledge, the right love, the right understanding. Lord, we need your help to direct us the right way. Lord, but I thank you, and I thank you because I know without you, we would not be here, but we need your help, Lord, more and more. Bless this law enforcement to serve them, to let them know they are to serve the right way. You are to serve us all the right, no matter what your color is, your sex, your creed, your religion, but to remove all this hatefulness, this ugliness, this racialness, to let us know we are all one in the eyes of the Father and the Son that made us able to be here to live. But we need to understand, to remember that the devil will confuse you to make you think it's right, but know it's wrong, just to lead you into a damnation, which God can lead you into the topmost everlasting love that is so beautiful and will never end. But you need to trust and believe and wait on the Lord and put all that you have as health, finance, family, or just self inflicted problems, whatever it is, God can lead you the right way. But Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Like I said, I can never thank you enough. But Lord, I thank you for each and every living thing on this earth that you gave life to another day, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back to you, Apostle.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Sheila. This week, we had a memorial service for my cousin, Minister Margot's, one of her younger sisters, Reverend Minister Cynthia. And it's difficult. I can't imagine how difficult it is for Minister Margot and her sisters, especially considering they lost another sister on this year. But this one hit me in a different way than the others. And as I thought about how close we were in age and how close Cynthia was to my sisters, I realized how at one of our homegoings, Minister Cynthia said to me, she said, you know, we're part of the cleric. We should go up there and have a seat. And I looked at her and I said, no. I said, you know, I'm good right here. And she went up there and she had a seat. And it blessed me because she was truly a leader. It wasn't that she wasn't going to go up there if nobody else went with her. But what blessed me was that she said, we are part of the family. We're the cleric. We need to go up there and have a seat. Well, for me, at this particular home going, it was so hard for me that I couldn't go up there and have a seat, even though Minister Reverend Cynthia had said to me, come on, cuz, let's go up here because we're family. And we're part of the clergy. And she went up there and she was poised as a cleric should be. And she sat up there with the other clerics. And she sat up there with the family. And I believe our one of our family members, I believe he calls himself Superintendent Joe, I know he's a pastor too. He went up there as well and had a seat. But I remember when I looked up there and I saw Dr. Mildred Harris and Pastor Rockamore and a whole bunch of other cloud of witnesses as far as the clerics, I remember how there was a lot of clerics sitting up there, but there was many more clerics and clergy in our family that were sitting in the audience. And so as I looked around this particular home going, I noticed how many of the clergy in our family were grieving, and we were grieving over the loss of Apostle Sandra Thomas. And it just reminded me how we sometimes forget that although we have titles, we grieve as well. And so we have to give one another the room to grieve. We have to give one another the room to go through the stages of loss and death. We have to give one another the prayers and the support that we need in order to go through the losses. And like I said, Minister Reverend Cynthia's passing hit me in a way that it was different. I mean, I've lost other family members, but like I said, I could just remember her saying to me at that home, going, come on, cousin, we're clergy. We need to go up here and sit with the other clergy. And I remember I didn't have the strength to go up there to sit because of the relationship that I had with Apostle Sandra Thomas, not just as my cousin, but as a mentor, a leader, and a friend. And throughout the course of my life, I realized that there are a number of things that we have to remember. And I know Minister Sylvia many times will take some of the things that I say, and I'll notice that she starts saying them, and they become so automatic to her that it blesses me because I remember how Apostle Sandra Thomas or my mom and dad would say things that after a while they would become so automatic with me. And it reminded me how sometimes we have to remember when we are putting our love and our trust into a man or a woman, it can lead us into happiness. It can lead us into sadness. It can lead us into heartbreak. It can even lead us into disappointment. But we have to realize that when we trust and love in God, He guarantees us His agape love. He guarantees us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He guarantees us that if we put our love into another person through Him, that He will help us so that we can deal with their transitioning to be with Him. And it's a beautiful thing for us to love God so much that He can bring people into our lives, whether they're spouses or whether they're brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, grandchildren, cousins, whatever they are, and we can love them so much till when they transition to be with Him, we're glad that they transitioned to be with Him. But in the same instance, we have a type of selfishness that says, but I don't want them to go yet. I don't want to lose them yet. And I remember my supervisor saying to me a few weeks ago when he called me to let me know that he was retiring, and I was speechless. Like I couldn't say anything. Because I realize I've had a lot of leaders in my life, but this is one of them that I wasn't happy, although he's going to retire, to see him go. And so it's a blessing to not be happy to see someone go. Whether they're transitioning or retiring, he said to me, he said, Cecilia, of all people, that really blesses me that you said that. That you're not happy to see me go. He says, because some people are celebrating when people are leaving. And the sad thing about it is that I thought about the supervisor prior to him. I have to be honest. I was happy to see her go. She retired. Her husband was like a mentor to me, but I was happy to see her go. And I realized that when people are transitioning in our lives, that sometimes we're happy to see them go. But there's a different type of joy and happiness to see someone go on to heaven versus seeing someone go on and you're like, oh, thank goodness they're gone. I don't want people to be happy to see me go. I don't want people to be happy to see me go on the job. I don't want people to be happy to see me go to heaven. Not unless their joy is joy like my joy for Cynthia, knowing that she's going to be with God. knowing that apostle's going to be with God. People say, oh, you don't know. You don't know where that person is going. You're right. I don't know where they're going. But in my heart, there are certain people that I believe, and it doesn't mean that just because I believe it, I'm right, but in my heart, I have a peace in knowing that they have gone on to be with the Lord. Because I'm not going to say my supervisor's name that's leaving, that I'm not happy to see him go. But there's also another one that was before him. I'm not going to share her name either, because I'm not happy to see him go. But I sure enough was happy to see her go. And I had to go to God and say, God, help me. Why am I not sad that she's leaving? And I had another employee that was retiring, and I was happy to see her go too. And I had another one that was leaving. I wasn't happy to see them go. And I said, God, help me so that I can see the good things that these people have done that I'm happy to see them go, so that I won't be so happy and basically like we're doing, like it or not, many of us are doing for our current president that's sitting in office. They were having parties on the street because they were so happy to see him go. Now, you may say, Cecilia, where are you going with this? Just work with me. Work with me. Be patient with me. There are things that we have to teach people about us in life. And one of those things is, I oftentimes say, and God had to get me here to where I really, really, really believe this. I accept what God allows. And so as God is teaching me to accept what he allows, I'm learning that that boss that I was happy to see her go at that time, that employee that I was happy to see them go, I can look back now on the things that God allowed them to do, that God allowed them to say. Some of the things that were manipulative, they were acts of witchcraft, they were acts of racism, they were acts of various things. But I accepted what God allowed in them now that they're gone, where at that time, like I said, I'm being honest, I was happy to see them go. But now I can look back on those things that they taught me. They taught me perseverance. They taught me and reinforced God's agape love in me. Because to treat someone right that always backstabs you, tries to set you up to fail, tries to use you and abuse you, but God can show you some of the good things that they did, where they trained this person or they trained that person, or even that they are were used to perfect your agape love. How easy is it to love someone and do right by someone who does you wrong just because of your skin color? How easy is it to do someone right and treat them right and promote them and do the things that you do even for the ones that support you? Well, I'm here to tell you, when you get to a point that you accept what God allows, that becomes just as easy as it was to promote that person or to encourage that person who did you right and who did you wrong. So as you learn to accept what people allow, you're also going to learn this other thing that this one prophetess told me, and I knew it was the leading of the Holy Ghost. She said, we have to allow people to be human. And as over the course of the years, I learned to add something to that. And so as prophetess Kelly ministered to me as I was walking out of the room, and she said, come back. God told me to tell you one more thing, and I'm going to write it down, and I need for you to write it down. She says, God told me to tell you to allow people to be human. And then over the course of the years, God added to what Prophetess Kelly told me. Not only do I accept what God allows. And not only do I allow people to be human, but I allow them to be perfectly flawed because they're not God. See, when we start putting people on pedestals and when we start acting like people got to be perfect, then we and are saying, God, I'm perfect. So you can measure me with the same measure that I measure them. Isn't that what the Word of God says? That we will be measured by that same measure that we measure others. So as I'm learning in life to allow people to be perfectly flawed, I can also go to God and tell him, God, I'm marred right there. Can you make me again? God, I'm marred right there. Can you make me again? God, why am I feeling like this where I'm happy and relieved that this person is retiring? Or I'm happy, I'm relieved that this person is being taken out of my life. I remember when I was in a relationship with this young man, and I knew that although he was good to me, he wasn't good for me. And that's a whole nother message. And I prayed to God, and I said, God, I feel that he is good to me, but he's not good for me. And if that feeling that I'm feeling is not correct, I said, teach me how he's good to me and good for me, or give me a way of escape. My. And I kept praying this, and I kept praying this, and I kept praying this. And I'm not going to tell you this was a fairy tale story, because God did not change it to where he was good to me and he was good for me. But instead, God gave me a way of escape. My. And when I took this way of escape, see, it wasn't me getting a divorce or anything like that, because many people get divorced and they go right back, but that's a whole other story. Because sometimes it's God sending them back and sometimes it's just them. And so when I took this way of escape, because he gave me a job in another state far away, and there was time after time after time that there was an opportunity for me to return to my vomit. I'm just going to keep it real. On many occasions, I almost did that. But God reminded me. He says, you asked me to either put you in a place that you knew that this person was good to you and good for you, or to give you a way of escape. So as I took that way of escape, I still accepted what God allowed. I still allowed people to be human, which meant that they were perfectly flawed because they wasn't God. I also learned this. As I'm learning to allow people to be human, I'm also learning, which I've been saying this for years, but it has a whole nother meaning to it. I'm teaching people how to handle me. And not only do I teach them how to handle me, not because of my quote-unquote title, not because of my education, but because I am a child of God, I'm teaching them how to handle me through this, through the grace and wisdom of God. Because when we accept what God allows, and when we allow people to be human because they're perfectly flawed and they're not God, and some people might say, well, what do you mean by they're perfectly flawed? No one's perfect but God. And he's perfecting us. And until we reign with him, we're imperfect people that's striving for the perfecting of God. Not that we make an excuse for all of this or that, because people will take that and run with it and say, oh, so that means I can sin. No, we don't practice sin. We don't practice sin intentionally, but we do sin. We all press towards the mark of the high calling of God, but we don't practice sin. But we know that when God finds a place that we're marred, He's the potter and we're the clay, and He'll make us over and over and over again. So as I teach people how to handle me, that means that I trust more in God. I'm not talking about all of this stuff we saw where people snatching people wigs off and where people are punching people in the mouth and all of that stuff and just, as they say, wilding out. But I'm talking about I am a child of God. I am of the royal priesthood. I am who God said I am. I'm not who I said I am. I'm not who this person or that person said I am, unless God told them that. I was listening to someone, and they were giving themselves all types of titles. And it didn't sit right with me, but I didn't understand why. And I was talking to my sister, and she made me laugh because I had already thought about it, but then she reinforced it. She said, we have to allow people to call us this. Why people all, well, she didn't say it in these words, but people always giving themselves names. The honorable chief, overseer, bishop, apostolic, reverend, doctor, bishop. I could just go on and on, teacher. But it's like, it's okay if God gives us a title, whether it's a teacher, an apostle, a bishop, or whatever. But if you find yourself constantly telling people your title, then maybe it's not your title. If you find yourself constantly telling someone that you're in a relationship with them, maybe they're not in a relationship with you. If you constantly find yourself dealing with someone who disrespects you and dishonors you, maybe you need to be asking God to show you if they're for you or against you. I'm going to talk about two of my nephews. I have this one nephew. He was dating this young lady, and then he put things on social media that showed her, you know, kissing him on the cheek and stuff like that. Guess what? I knew he was all into her. I have this other nephew. He was with different women and different things, but he didn't really show them on his social media page. I don't mean no harm, but that is a sign, but that's a whole other thing. I knew that he not only was into this girl because he was putting her on social media with him, because he doesn't do that. See, all the other ones, he didn't do that because he wanted to be able to play around. But when I joked with him, because he had just, I wasn't really joking with him. A matter of fact, I really wanted to know when he was going to marry this girl. He had just asked her to marry him. He had just, you know, proposed to her. And for some reason, it wasn't even a week later, I was asking him, so when y'all getting married? And he said, I don't know. But immediately, they got married. Thought to myself, I said, see, that's how God is with us. Immediately, he shows us how much he loves us. Immediately, he lets us see how he'll protect us and how he will give us his wisdom and how he'll promote us and how he'll cover us. God immediately shows everybody, not just somebody, but everybody, how much he loves us. And so as we show people how much we love them, we also have to make sure that they're reciprocating it. We also have to make sure that we're showing them. We have this one family member that she will copy off anything that you do. She will copy it and try to take credit for it. We have this other family member who she gonna blame you for everything. She's never gonna look in the mirror. She's always looking out the window, pointing the finger at everybody else. And so I've learned that many of us are showing her how to handle us. We're not letting her play the blame game with us anymore. Because when you're an adult, you act like an adult, or that's what we're going to expect you to do. And when you're a child, we want you to act like a child, and we're going to teach you how to grow. But see, if we don't take time to show people how to be mature, then why are we upset with them when they act like a child? Just ponder that for a moment. If people are allowed to throw tantrums, people are allowed to disrespect you, why are you upset when they disrespect you? You've allowed that. And showing someone how to handle you doesn't mean loud talking to them. Showing someone how to handle you could be, I want them to love me, so I'm showing them love. I want them to forgive me, so I'm forgiving them. I want them to show me mercy, so I'm showing them mercy. I want to show them that I'm not going to let them keep using me and abusing me, so I'm not going to give you that money like I always give you. I'm not going to give you this or that like I always give you, but I'm going to tell you that I'm no longer going to give you a fish, but here's the pole and here's the map to how to go out there and get your own fish. Not only am I no longer going to give you this or that, I'm going to pass you this application, and I've already talked to someone, so you're really already hired. All you got to do is fill out this application and go and work. As Minister Sylvia even taught on Friday night, if you don't work, you don't eat. So although I'm making these biscuits and this cornbread and all of these things for you, it's because you basically paid into it. You're doing the things that support what I'm doing for you. And why am I doing it? Because God said that I should do it. How can I be feeding the world when there's someone sitting right next to me starving? That's a whole other message too. My goodness. Please hear my heart. And know that as we one, accept what God allows. Two, allow people to be human, which means they're perfectly flawed because they're not God. Like I said, it's not a reason to practice sin, though. And as we three, know that we teach people how to handle us through God's grace and wisdom. Because, see, the world teaches us to teach people how to handle us in being mean, in doing stuff and saying, I'm just saying. The world's way of teaching people how to handle them is punching someone in the mouth, like I said. It's disrespecting people. It's amazing how the world's way of teaching people how to handle us has crept into the church. God lets us know that love covers a multitude of sins. Again, not practicing sin. But some of us are not allowing God to expose and to decode what someone is doing, whether it's infidelity, whether it's lying, whether it's cheating, whether it's doing whatever. Some of us are doing it for God. And then we're wondering why it's backfiring on us. It's because you didn't do it through the grace and the wisdom of God, but you had an ulterior motive, whether it was something of envy, jealousy, or covetousness, or whatever it was. But God will expose what needs to be exposed. We have this one person, I call her a wannabe because I don't know if she is or if she's not our sister. She's been so mean to me until I had to block her. It took me years to block her on Facebook because I was just tolerating what she was doing. She would be so disrespectful to me. She was so respectful to Sheila, Minister Sheila. She was so respectful to Minister Sylvia, but she was always disrespectful to me. And so one of these Sundays I wasn't able to minister on Blog Talk, and I had to minister on Facebook, and she immediately attacked me verbally. And I just kept praying and asking God what to do, and I saw people that genuinely love me attacking this person. And then I said, no, I'm just going to block her. I'm just going to block her, and I will pray for her and pray that God gives her, as Minister Sylvia says, the Dana test, and she can prove that our Father is or is not hers. And now all of a sudden she sends me messages or she says stuff to me through my sisters, and she's nice. I had to teach her how to handle me by a simple act of blocking her, because I do want her to know who her Father is. But don't be angry with me because I remind you so much of my mother that you attack me every instant and every chance you get, but you don't do it to my sisters because you know they won't tolerate you, but I'm the nice one, so you try to handle me disrespectfully. Well, the grace of God and the wisdom of God showed me how to handle her because I wanted to handle her in a whole nother way, and it sure wasn't godly. So you all pray for me, please. Then the fourth thing. Lastly, I must always keep God first in every area of my life. So like I said, there's four things that I do in my life, and that is I accept what God allows. I live life knowing that I have to allow people to be human because they're perfectly flawed and they're not God. And I have to teach people how to handle me through the grace and wisdom of God. And then lastly, I have to keep God first in every area of my life. If I keep God first in every area of my life, if I teach people how to handle me, if I allow people to be human, if I accept what God allows, I won't be angry with people when they start doing the things that they do, because I ask God, God, what was I supposed to learn from that? God, was there something for me in that? Or God, how do you want me to respond to that particular thing? Oh God, my heart is overwhelmed because my heart is broken because I've lost a family member. God, teach me how to go through steps in the stages of a family member transitioning. God, teach me how to ask you, is that person for me or are they just good to me? God, teach me how to, when I'm dealing with racism and sexism and nepotism and all manner of discrimination on my job, that I know how to use it to help someone else. God, teach me how not to celebrate when someone is leaving because I'm happy that I don't have to deal with their mess anymore. God, teach me how to learn from the things that they taught me because, God, I know their message is now a message. Their mess that was a message to me was truly a message from you. So thank you, God, for the message. Thank you, God, for the lesson. Thank you, God, for being such an awesome teacher. Thank you, God, that I celebrate those very people that brought me this message from you, that I don't have to deal with racism because you created the human race. And you did not teach me to allow people to put their foot on my neck. You did not teach me to allow people to teach me lessons and not learn from them. So as I'm learning these lessons on racism and how to deal with those people in love. At the same time, when I see something, I say something. I don't go and hide in the corner and try to protect myself. But as a leader, I speak up and say, no, so-and-so, so-and-so, person A, person B, you will not treat that person like that because that's racism. No, you will not do that because that's sexism. No, you will not do that because that's discrimination. No, what you just did, you may not know, but let me make you aware that that's a microaggression. I know you may not know that you're practicing this microaggression, but you are. And I know you think you're not prejudiced because you have this friend or that friend that's a different color than you. But in actuality, you're practicing microaggressions when you're talking to them about certain programs that they watch, or you tell them, oh, you sound like this or you sound like that, trying to insinuate that because they're from a certain place and a certain race or demographics that they should sound or act a certain way. So as God is teaching me how to walk out these four things in life, I just want to share with you that it's okay, praise God, for everything that's happening in your life. Like I said, I had to be transparent today and let you know that when Reverend Cynthia transitioned, it affected me in a different way than a lot of others on that transition. When Apostle Thomas transitioned, it affected me in a way that it didn't when others transitioned. And then when a whole nother transition happened, when I had two people on my job, one was a supervisor and one I supervised, I was happy to see them retire. The feelings that I had was not correct. And so I had to go to God and I had to look at, okay, these people retired, but these people died. And I'm asking you, God, to show me how these people that transition, how I should have joy in their transition because they're going to be with you. And I do, God, but I still have a selfishness that's saying I wasn't ready for them to go, God. But in the same instance, I'm over here on the natural side. See, where we're talking natural and spiritual, and I'm excited about these people that retire, but I have this other person that's getting ready to retire, and I'm not happy to see him go. Help me, God, so that I can be more consistent in knowing that I have accepted what you allowed and these lessons that people have taught me. Because like I said, the most memorable moment for me was when Reverend Cynthia said, come on, we're cleric. And she called me by my title. She said, let's go up here and sit with them. And I knew that I could not go up there and sit with her because I knew that I wasn't in the mental state because I wasn't crying. But I wasn't there. I can't explain it. I was sitting there, but my heart was overwhelmed. The grief that I was feeling was so intense until on the outside I was smiling, and I may have even had a blank look, but on the inside, my heart was overwhelmed. But as I went to God, he reminded me of the four things that he's given me in life: to accept what God allows, to allow humans to be perfectly flawed, to teach people how to handle me through the grace and the wisdom of God, and to always keep him first in every area of my life. And then I can allow people that I work with to be human, whether they're in ministry with me or whether they're on the job with me. So let's learn how to ask God, God, teach me the messages. Teach me the testimony in the mess and in the test. And when they're both all over, teach me how to celebrate the things that you've allowed those people to teach me in life. Minister Sheila, that's all I have.
Thank you, Apostle, for this, for your words and encouragement. I just want to thank you and thank you. And I just want to say the lines are open. If anyone has a testimony, a statement, or a remark, your time is now.
Good morning, Saints. This is Minister Margot. I'd just like to thank God for another day. Thank Him for another Sunday. Thank Him for saving me and sanctifying. Thank Him for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Just to thank Him for loving me and loving my family and giving me a family that has a legacy of love, service, and commitment to God. And I just like to thank Apostle-elect Cecilia for those wonderful words this morning, and tell her that I also shared with someone the concept of allowing people to be human, because this individual was judging and making judgments about my sister that has gone on to be with God. And I said, we have to allow each other to be human. We are not in a position to judge others. And I just like to leave this scripture with you from Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Be blessed. Trust God and trust Him to have His way in your life. I praise and thank God for you all. Pray for me.
Thank you, Minister Margot McCoy. Thank you for your words and encouragement. Is there anyone else?
Thank you, God, for today's service. I really enjoyed it. All I can say is ditto, ditto, ditto. This is Minister Sylvia Kaiser. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, right? Thank you for your words. Is there anyone else? I just want to thank God, the Father, and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, for all that is listening today, the ones that was able to speak and the ones that are not. I just thank God for all of us that we are here today, because I know without Him, we would not be here. And I just want to thank you and thank you and thank you, and ask you to continue to listen and to have more. Invite your friends and families and other members to join us on Sunday mornings for Let's Talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also on Monday nights, which is Blog Talk, and also Facebook, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser-Wright, Minister Brandon, Iron Sharpening Iron, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Friday nights, which is Blog Talk, and also Facebook with Minister Sylvia Fager-Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas, which is Facebook and Blog Talk, at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I still want to say thank you, and I thank you all, and to be blessed. And Monday night, the first Monday night, I'm kind of at work, so I don't have the list in front of me, but I believe the first Monday night of the month is Dr. Serena Wright. Do I have it right, Minister Sylvia Kaiser?
Correct.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to say join in to listen. It's a mighty powerful woman of God with many teachings and lessons and learning and education of God and love. And I just want to say I thank you, and I thank you all for being blessed and to know that God is the blessing in the life that we should all live and to cherish and to honor him and to thank him daily 24/7, 39, 24/7, however you can, because it's still not enough to thank him and praise him for the life and the love that he has given us. And I want you to remember our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all shall be added unto you. Just say, remember, have a blessed day, and no matter what you're going through, give it over to God and pray to him, and he will show and answer you with the abundantly of love, truth, and life. Thank you. Have a blessed, safe day. May God be with us all. Amen. Goodbye.